one another, that would help. You have an extra? Oh, that's great. Oh, the psukim are going to be important. Okay. We were a few psukim into chapter 2, and there's a great deal that we have to say about chapter 2. And remember, we only have 1 week more before Shavuos. That's next week. So let's begin with chapter 2 again. Naomi Modala Isha. Naomi had a relative of her husband, Ish Gibor Chayil, man who was mighty, Mimishpachat Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech, Ushmo Boaz, and his name was Boaz. There's a fascinating comment that's made by the Gemara. The Gemara says, by tzaddikim, you always have Shmom Kodem Lahem, their name before them. What does it mean, their name before them? Ushmo Boaz. Ish Yehudi Hoyo B'Shushan Habira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shim Ben Kishin. There was a man, it says in Shmuel, there was a man whose name was Kish, Ushmo Kish, and he had a son by the name of Shaul. There was a man who would come up to Shiloh every year, Ushmo Elkanah, his name was Elkanah. By Rishoyim, by the evil, it says, the other way it says, there was a warrior who came out, and Goliath Shemo. Goliath was his name. There is somebody who acts in a terrible way to David, Nabal HaKarmeli, so it says Nabal Shemo. It says it by a number of others. The important thing is the Gemara says that by tzaddikim it says Ushmo such and such, as it says about God himself, Ushmi Hashem, my name is Hashem. So if you want to know that a person who's mentioned is a tzaddik, if it says Ushmo Boaz and his name is Boaz rather than Boaz is his name. Imagine, because his name goes before him in a sense. Anyway, so we talked about the idea of the word moda and yedi'ah, and that yedi'ah, to know, means to love, and that was the meaning of v'ha'adam yoda. Adam knew his wife Chava, and that's what it means when it says Elkanah knew his wife Chana. Anyway, back to the pasuk about Tomer Rut ha'moaviyah el Naomi Rut. The Moabite said to Naomi, Elchono hasod, I'm going to go out into the field, v'alakto b'shibolim, and I'm going to gather from the sheaves the stalks of grain, achar asher emtzeh chein be'inav, after the one whom I will find favor in his eyes. V'atomelon, she said to her, l'chi biti, go, my daughter. So of course, by virtue of the fact that she says l'chi biti, it means that Ruth is really asking for permission to go out. And as we began to describe, it seems quite clear that they were being ostracized by the entire community. Naomi, who had once been the woman of stature and note, significance and importance in Bethlehem, is now one who is shunned, by others despised, by everyone ostracized. Nobody has come knocking on the door. And there's nothing there, so Ruth is the one who takes the initiative to say, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go out into the field. And what is she going to go do? We're going to see in this chapter, living halacha. If you want a picture of halacha alive in Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the Bet HaMikdash, you have it right here. The halacha says that when the harvest takes place, anything that drops to the ground, if it's one or two stalks of grain that fall, the poor may come and take it. Three drop at one spot, they can't take it. There are all sorts of halachas, so that in a sense, not only are the poor provided with their needs, but in a sense, they're participating in the harvest. Where was it? Did my mother, Elias Shalom, tell me that during the Great Depression, people would just, you know, get dressed up and go out of the house in the morning? Men couldn't just stay at home unemployed. Here, the poor are given the opportunity, while everybody is gathering in the grain, they also get up in the morning and they go out to work, which lends a sense of dignity to them as well. Anyway, so Naomi says, okay, you can go. I believe in this pasuk, why is she described as Rut HaMoaviyah? And we always have to ask that question. We know already from the beginning of the Sefer that she was Rut the Moabite. Why must it be mentioned here? I have a feeling, obviously, because if we want to in some little way appreciate the courage involved in the step that she's going to take, then we have to remember she's a Moaviyah. She's a greenhorn. She's a Naya Yekimina. She's an Olah Chadasha that may not even be able to get a Tudat Oleh from the Misrad HaPnim, because there are questions about whether she is Jewish or not. Which means that for her to take this step is an extremely courageous and difficult one. And the pasuk wants us to appreciate that this is a difficult step for her. And therefore it points out that this is Rus HaMoaviyah who prepares to take the step to go out, because she doesn't know what's waiting for her in the field. She may be come into the field and she'll hear the cry, Moabite Shiksa, Arois, out. She doesn't know. What also may be interesting is she knows Torah. She knows that the poor have a right to gather the grain in the field. This is not just some Moabite woman who has not learned about Torah. She knows. Vatelech, the next pasuk, Vatelech, Vatovo, Vatelakei Pasadem, we described the, you know, the fear of stepping out into a new place. She walks and she comes back. She makes signs for herself to remember, this is where I turn, this is how I go back. We mentioned, you know, it's always so much longer when you travel to a new place than when you come back. So that's what she did. Vatelech, Vatovo, Vatelakei Pasadem. And she gathered in the field, Acharei HaKotzrim, after the harvesters, Vayikar Mikreha, and it was an amazing circumstance. She doesn't have a clue, but this is amazing circumstance, that it's Chelkas HaSod El Boaz, Hashem Mishpachat Alimelech. This is the field, is the field of Boaz, who is from the family of Elimelech. Gemara says, "Mi mishpachat Elimelech." Boaz from the family of Elimelech. This is pasuk 3, right? Weren't we told that already in pasuk Aleph? The very first pasuk of the chapter tells us that Boaz is from the family of Elimelech. Did we forget it by pasuk 3? So the Gemara says, "Mi mishpachat Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech, vayiker mikreha." Pasuk says it was happenstance that it was the field of Boaz, who was from the family of Elimelech. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Shenitan lo mimi shehu roui lipol b'chelka." Pasuk wants to point out that of all the fascinating things, this is a field that in some way belongs to her. It's part of her family. You know, she didn't even come into a stranger's field. She doesn't have a clue. she thinks that she is gathering grain from somebody else's, but she's from the family, her husband was from the family of Elimelech, which means they all own all of these properties jointly. So the Pasuk wants to remind us, in her mind, she thinks she's taking charity. There's no charity over here. This is a field that by right should become part of the heirloom of her family to be someday. Anyway, v'hinei boaz bami beit lechem. This is where we were up to. V'hinei boaz bami beit lechem. And behold, Boaz comes from beit lechem. V'yomel ha-kotzrim ha-shem imachem. And he told the people who were harvesting, Hashem imachem, may God be with you. And he used the name of God. He didn't say Hashem. He didn't say the Eivishter. He set out the name of God. Yud kei vav kei Hashem imachem. Vayomru, and they said to him, and they too used the name of God, Yivorechecho Hashem. They didn't say Hashem. They said Yivorechecho Ado, as we would say, the Shem Hashem. So from this, first of all, the Gemara says that it was Boaz u Beidino. It was Boaz and his Bedin that established a rule for the time that people should bless one another with the name of God. And the reason why he established it is he felt that there was a lessening of the relationship between man and God, and he wanted to get the name of God again into the mouths of people. They had gone through a period of idolatry, and he wanted them, you know, Im Yirtz Hashem and Baruch Hashem and the Eibishtevet Helfen, and you know, the Almighty. The idea of using the name of God is, and especially using it and saying it as it normally should be said, is something that would shake up people. And that's exactly what he had in mind. What's always interesting, and you always have to stop when you come to the word vihine. Vihine always means something surprising has taken place. One of the classic places, I don't have my Chumash with me, I don't have my Tanakh with me, I feel like I don't have my right hand with me. But all right, we'll remember a little bit. Yaakov is fleeing from the house of his parents because Esav wants to kill him. And if he comes to a place and he lies down there at night, Vayachalom, and he dreams, Vihinei, Sulam Mutzav Arzov, there is a ladder, the ground, Vihinei, and behold, Malachei Elokim, the angels of God, are going, Vihinei, and behold, God is standing over him. Every time it says Vihinei, always, it takes us into the feelings of the one to whom it's happening. Surprise, something unusual has happened. I once wanted to say this is just as an aside, but it's not really an aside because it has to do with the period of Mashiach. Mashiach, remember, is going to issue from Rut. Rut is going to be Mashiach. In Sefer Yeshayahu, when Yeshayahu describes the period, the Messianic period, so he says, you know, and the lamb will lie down with the lion and the leopard with the Quetzalcoatl. I mean, I don't remember the precise words over there. And I always wondered it never said Vihinei. It should have said Vihinei, and behold, the Gor Ze'ev im Keves, the wolf is going to lie down with the sheep. Vihinei! You understand, a child is going to play with a poisonous snake. Behold! The leopard is going to play with the chicken, I don't know, whatever it is, or the cat and the mouse. So they say that's precisely the description of the mess of the period of Mashiach. The reason why the word vihinei, surprise, doesn't appear there, because that's going to be the natural order of things. It's not going to be unusual. If you're going to walk through the streets, And you'll see a lamb and a wolf, you're not even going to take a look. Of course, what it also means is, I don't know, somebody from Meretz and somebody from the Eda HaCharedis walking with their arms around each other, you're not even going to look up and say, by the way, that's what the Navi really means. That's what he really means. Because the fact is, I think it's the Malbim and others who say, nature of animals are not going to change in the days of Mashiach. A wolf will go after a lamb, you understand? And a cat is going to go after a mouse. There are others who say differently. It's a machloket whether there's going to be such a dramatic change in nature, or it's all a metaphor. According to the Rambam, everything is a metaphor. What it means is people of different persuasions are going to be able to live together side by side. Nir Barkat is going to vote for Uri Lopoliansky. You understand? That's going to be Yemotah HaMashiach. There are, of course, others who say, yes, that there will be a dramatic change. And I saw even another sheet this week that the cat or the wolf will still want to go after the lamb, but you know what? The wolf is going to be able to control itself. How do you like that? The wolf is going to be able to a greater understanding of good and evil. You don't start up with a little shepshalach. Start up with somebody your own size. And all right. Anyway, so Vihinei Boaz, and behold, Boaz is there. What's the surprise? What's so unique and unusual about this? Well, so you're going to say that Boaz is a big wealthy man. He has all of his shamosim to take care of everything that's going on in the field. I believe the surprise is a double surprise. Surprise number one, there have been many years since there was a harvest taking place in the land of Israel. There have been many years since the owner of a field would be able to go into the field and see the stalks of grain and full and being harvested. Which also means something else. Because for so many years there wasn't a harvest, it means the Jews had to learn the laws of harvesting all over again. The laws of harvesting are terribly important. You have to leave pe'ah, a part of the field at the corner of the field. Elu dvorim she'ein lahem shiur, ha-pe'ah v'ha-bikurim. There are all sorts of laws. Listen, we know that next time Shemitah is going to come around, we're going to have to start learning the laws of Shemitah all over again. Not as though we didn't know it. We will have forgotten it in 7 years. I don't even know, I was only being nice when I used Shemitah as an example. I can use every Pesach as an example. Rabbi, how do you kasha the stove? I know I asked you last year, and I know I asked you the year before, so either I'll say, I hold it, it's a minig, I have to ask you every year, or I just forget from year to year. V'hinei Boaz feels the responsibility that he has to make sure that his people in the fields, after all these years that they didn't have to fulfill the Torah laws in the field. Somebody has to be out there to teach them. Somebody has to tell them, there's leket, there are those that fall that you're not permitted to take. There's shikha, if you forget a bundle in the field, you're not permitted to take it. The vineyard, there are all sorts of clusters of grapes that you're not permitted to take. You're supposed to leave it. You have to leave the peah in the field. There are a lot of halachas. It became something of living Judaism, and this is part of the living Judaism that we are reading in the story right here in Sefer Rut. V'hinei Boaz, this you can't leave in the hands of your executive director or your top farmhand or a cowboy. Here you need somebody, and most probably Boaz is the one who was teaching Klal Yisrael these laws, that he comes into his own field and he makes sure that everything is going to be done the way it should be done. Boaz said to his boy who was in charge of, he did have somebody who was in charge of the harvesters. Lemi hana'ara hazot. To whom is this girl? To whom is this girl? Rashi brings the famous question of the Gemara. V'chidarko shel Boaz lishol banoshim? Is this Boaz asks about women? So the Rashi gives the answer for the Gemara, L'divrei tzniut v'chochma ro'aba. He saw in Rut, he saw modesty and wisdom. Shtei shibolim lokta shlosha eino leketa. He saw, he noticed that if there were two stalks of grain, she would take it. If there were three lying there, she didn't take it, which means she knows the halacha. And then, a sheaf of grain that was standing up, she would pick it standing up. What happens if it's down on the ground? There are two ways to get it when it's down on the ground. You can bend over, or you can go down on your legs, in a sense, move into a sitting position. As far as the dignity of a woman is concerned, it's much more dignified for her to go down into a crouching position and pick it up. And he noticed that she was very careful. Every time she had to go down, it was done with a great degree of modesty. He says, if the stalk of grain was standing up, so then she picked it that way. Vishokhvot, if it was lying down on the ground, miyushav, she sat down, she went down. Kedeshalo tishche, she shouldn't bend over, which certainly is undignified. Further, so he asks, to whom is this girl? Vayan hanar hanitzav al hakotzvim, the man who was in charge of the harvesters, he answered, and Vayomer, he said, Nara Moaviyahi hashova im Naomi mistei Moav. Interesting. He's been out of the field. Everybody knows precisely who she is. Nobody has said a word to her. We don't even have any indication that this boy said. It seems that she spoke to him. We'll see in a moment. She's a girl, Moavia. So now you get a picture. How do they look at her in Beit Lechem? How do they look at her? They look at her as a Giyodet? What is she? She's a Moavia. Nara ha-Moavia hashova im Naomi mistei Moav, who returned, very fascinating use, hashova im Naomi, who has returned with Naomi mistei Moav. At the same time that he refers to her as a Moavia, you can also get an indication that there's a certain respect for this Nara Moavia. They don't know how to take her, because take a look what he says, hashova, who returned Im Naomi Miste Moav. They understand that they realize that she is devoted to Naomi, and the two of them are like one. And he even describes her journey from the field of Moav as a journey of return. In the simple words of this boy in the field, you can get a picture. I mean, you get a picture of, they know who she is. And I'm beginning to wonder at this point, do they now ostracize her because of some kind of distance that they feel? They don't know how. V'yazoi estmendus. Eich. They don't know how to deal with her. On the one hand, she's a stranger, a Moavia. On the other hand, she manifests a dignity, a stature, a bearing, a commitment, a loyalty to Naomi. I mean, this shakes people up, you know. There's a certain, you're sort of afraid to approach people who leave you with an impression of such feelings. Yes. Naomi was ostracized because at a moment of great crisis, there was great hunger. She was rich. She left. She abandoned Eretz Yisrael. She left all of her friends. You understand? And we use the example of the country is under siege over here, and some fellow has an American passport, and he gets onto the first plane getting out of here. You guys can stay here. I'm going to safety. That's betrayal. She betrayed them. She was part of a family who had betrayed them. Vatomer. So the young man, the young man is speaking, and he says, she said, Alaktono, let me please gather here v'osafti, and I will bring together ba'amorim from the stalks of grain, achare akotzrim, after the harvesters. Vatovo, vatamod, me'oz haboke v'yadata, she came, and she's been here from morning until now. Ze shifto habayit mi'at. She has just now returned from the house. A very difficult phrase to understand. I like the Malbim's approach. We're going to see later on there must have been some kind of a hut in the field where people would go, you know, to get out of the sun for a while, to have a bite. So the young man is saying she had been at the house already for a drink or for something, and Zeh Shifta, she's just now returned. Shifta Habayit Ma'at, she's just came back from whatever hut there was in the field. It can't, of course, be referring that she had gone home to Naomi, because we're going to see later in the chapter she's going to go home to Naomi. See, I always have crazy thoughts that go through my head. As I was saying these four words, could there be a deeper meaning? It's only recently that she has returned home. How's that? Does it grab you? She has recently returned home. I think he's talking about her with great respect. He sees, you know, this little boy is becoming, this young man is becoming very fascinating to me. Ze shifto habayit ma'at. Oh boy, can I make a sermon on this? Ze shifto habayit mi'at. He sees her journey as a journey of return, a journey of return home. It's only recently. Is he possibly saying, despite the fact that she's just returned home, she knows the halakhas of what she can gather in the field and what not? And here is Boaz, who has come to the field to teach all of these other fellas what to do. I mean, don't we find that often? When I get shailas from Balei Tshuva, I shiver my timbers, you understand? Because they have a unique way of finding things that I never heard of my whole life. But I've learned one thing, never ever to say, oh no, that can't be. Because, you know, we know nearly everything, but we don't know everything. The little nothing that we don't know, they find out about. They know exactly about. And they ask, they come up with very fascinating questions. I'm telling you, very fascinating questions. Because they also pick up all sorts of minhagim that they see in different homes. I haven't been in different homes. Where do I go? I don't go any place. But, the beginning of their process, they end up in all sorts of homes. You pick up a minhag here and you pick up a minhag there. Well, I know somebody who picked up a minhag in our house. When we got married, we didn't have any place for the bananas except on top of the fridge. So this fella keeps coming into the house, and then some later time we end up in his house, and you know where the bananas are? You got it, on top of the fridge. And we asked him, what are your bananas doing on top of the fridge? So he says, what do you mean by my bananas doing on top of the fridge? Your bananas are always on top of the fridge. Michael, why do you want to ask a question just now? I'll be with you in a moment, Rhoda. Yeah, yeah. Michael, is it possible, I mean, I'm going to present the possibility that she's an attractive woman? That's one. By the way, Chazal do indeed say that. That's number one. Number two, she's a foreigner. She's a stranger. Don't you watch foreigners and strangers? We've never seen her in these parts before. And not only that, He hasn't seen her, but he's heard about her, and he knows a great deal about her. She is a source of a great deal of fascination, great deal of curiosity. And I'm saying that the fascination and curiosity has given way to respect and even a degree of reverence. They see that she's a special woman. She knows the halacha. She conducts herself with modesty. She has great devotion to her mother-in-law. Oh, this is enough for anybody to want. Well, going in order, Rhoda? Give you one guess. Naomi taught her. The Gemara says it. I'll read you the Gemara, the Medrash. The boy says she's Naaron Moavia. She's a Moabite girl. Amalei. So he said to him, I imagine it's the boy saying it to Boaz, you say that Maaseha Yofim V'noim, her deeds are beautiful and pleasant? V'alo Naaron Moavia. When he calls her Naaron Moavia, so the Medrash says, what are you talking about? You're telling me all these things about this Moabite, but she's a Moabite girl. So the Gemara Medrash says, Ela Givirto Rof Allah. Givirto means her mistress. Her mistress is the one who healed her. Who healed her means that she's taught her. She's prepared the way for her. Malka? That's also good. Do you hear, Michael? Shmana divrei Malka. Vateyom ha'ir. The whole city, the whole city watches the two bedraggled women coming into Bethlehem. This is... All right, let's go a little further. Vayomer Boaz or Ruth. Boaz said to Ruth, Halo shamad biti. This is the first time he speaks to her. Boaz said to Ruth, Halo shamad biti, but you've heard my daughter. Al teichi lilkot besodeh acher. Don't go gather in anyone else's field. Don't go anyplace else. Besodeh acher, in another field. V'gam lo tavuri mizeh, and don't go away from here. The coated bokin imna arotai, and so shall you cleave to my girls. There are girls out in the field too. The word tidbokin is very important to me. So just remember it. Einayich basodeh asher yiktzodun, your eyes should be in the field where they are harvesting, v'holach tachadein, and follow the girls. Halo tziviti et hanarim, I've commanded the boys, levilti nageich, no one should touch you. Vitzamit, you'll become thirsty, for halachta lakelim, go to where we have all of the provisions. Vishatit, and you can drink, me asher yishavun hanarim, from that which the boys are going to fetch. Vatipol al paneha, she prostrated herself, vatishtachu aratzo, she bowed to the ground, vatomre lov, and she said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, lahakireni, that you take note of me? Vanochi nochria, says, I know the truth. I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. You know, I always get these things that overcome me. So here, I'll just mention it, and you can do with it what you want. Maybe don't do anything with it. Lahakireni has the same letters as Nochriya, except for the Lamed. Nochriya is a stranger, and Lahakireni is to recognize me. In other words, what a Nochriya wants more than anything else is the Hakireni. You are Hakireni when I am really Nochriya. I don't know, just interesting. That's all. Okay. But you don't have to. Bayan Boaz Vayoma, Boaz answered and he said, Bayomalon, he said to her, nah, you see, with every pasuk, we're getting more and more information so that we can understand what has been going on in Bethlehem. So he says to her, Hugaid hu gadli, it has already been told to me. Kol asher asitim chamoteich. You know what he's going to reveal now? He knows everything about her. Of course, it means, therefore, that there must have been great pressure for him not to have approached Naomi and Ruth before. He knows everything. And I'm sure that everybody in town knows everything. But nobody was ready to break the cycle of silence. And the one who had to do it was Ruth. I'm going to tell you a story. In 1955, I came to learn in yeshiva here. 55. Long time ago. After Sukkot of 55, I went to Bnei Brak to learn in Yeshivat Panevish. First of all, you have to know, there were very few yeshivas in the country. I always keep reminding people that the greatest explosion and growth of Torah study and Torah institutions in the last 2,000 years has taken place in this secular Zionistic country. Unparalleled and unmatched in all of history. Then I had a whole problem. I went to one of the Rosh Yeshiva and he told me there's no place in the yeshiva. It was. Panevish had about 400 students that were pretty big. But he told me there's a fellow upstairs. His name is Rav Shach. Go speak to him. Maybe he can help you. So I went to this fellow, Rav Shach, and he gave me a bechina, and I don't know, he got all excited about me. And then he puts on his bekish and he says, come with me. And he's running through the streets of Bnei Brak to take me to the office to tell them to take me in. And that's what happened then. And I sat near him all the time that I was in Panevish. I sat near him. Anyway, I come into this Beis Medrash, 400 people. I sit one day. Nobody says hello to me. I sit 2 days. I don't know a soul. I don't know what's going on. It was the third or the fourth day that I decided that I'm going to take the initiative. I went to the first row in the Beis Medrash, a very big Beis Medrash, the same Beis Medrash. Walk over to the first person, tap him on the shoulder, yeah, Ken. I told him, Shmi Gold, Shalom Gold. Ani bati mi'atzot habrit l'lmod kan. Shalom Aleichem. Guy looks at me, doesn't know what hit him. I go to the next fellow, and I say shalom. Meanwhile, I don't notice yet, but there's a silence that's beginning to descend on the whole Beis Medrash. Epistis Meshugana Americana, you understand? Who knows what he's doing? It was a long row. I guarantee you, by the time I got to the end of the row, the whole Beis Medrash knew that there's a guy who came from America to learn here, and his name is Shalom Gold. And after that, I went back to my seat near Rav Shach, which was in the back of the Beis Medrash, and that crisis was completely over. Ruth walks out of the house. There's been silence. Somebody has to break the silence. She realizes the silence is not going to be broken unless she does it herself. You know, that story is a perfect way of explaining what's taking place in this chapter. I never thought of it before. She takes the initiative. And oh boy, you know what happens because she takes the initiative? Oh, what great things are going to happen for Klal Yisrael and for the world as a whole because she walked out that day and went into the field. So now Boaz is telling her, Hugaid hu gadli. You know I am so nice to you? Because it has been told to me. And the Gemara says, why does it say twice, Hugaid hu gad? Telling it have been told to me. There's sort of something very poetic about this. So the Medrash says, Hugadli babayit, Hugadli basadeh. I heard about it at home, and I heard about it in the field. In other words, they've been talking in all of the homes in Bethlehem. They've been talking about Ruth and Naomi. But nobody could take the initiative except her. They've told me, Kol asher osit et chamoteich, everything that you did for your mother-in-law, acharei mot isheich, after the death of your husband. Ah, you understand? He's very careful in what he says over here. It doesn't say what you did for your mother-in-law after the death of your father-in-law. Because she still had reason to remain with her because her own husband was alive. But what you did for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband, which already would have been reason for her to go back to her former life. And you left your father and your mother and the land of your birthplace. And you went to a people that you didn't know yesterday and the day before. I want you to look at that pasuk again. And I want you to tell me what that pasuk reminds you of. What other pasuk? Ken, you're unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because I was expecting that it would take everybody who knows how long. God says to Avram, Avinu lech lecha, me'artzecha, mimoladetcha, umibeit avicha. What does he say to her here? Vatazvi, you left, avich v'imeich, your father and your mother, ve'eretz moladeteich, and the land of your birthplace, vateil chielam, and you went to a land, people ashalo yadat, mol shulshom. There's only one problem. The order is reversed here from the order of Avram Avinu. Let's listen to the pasuk by Avram Avinu again. God says to Avram Avinu, lech lecha, me'artzecha, from your land, mimoladetcha, from your birthplace, umibeit avicha, and from your father's house. That's the pasuk. By the way, that pasuk is also problematic. Is that the order in which things happen? You know what the order is? Precisely the opposite. You walk out of your father's house, and then you walk out of the city in which you were born, until you reach the border of the land in which you lived. You really leave Beit Avicha first, Moladetecha second, and Artzecha third. And God says to him, Lech Lecha, Me Artzecha, Me Moladetecha, Umi Beit Avicha, precisely the opposite of the way in which it's done. Of course, I don't have to tell you that Torah is brilliant. What Torah is talking about, Torah is not talking about the physical or geographical movement from one place to the next. You know what the Rebbein Shem was telling him? You're going to have to put your past behind you. Of the three, father's house, birthplace, and country, which may be the first to pass from one's consciousness? Land is first. Birthplace will be second. The one that's going to be the most difficult to leave is going to be family, Beis Avicha. God is not telling Avram Avinu how to move in order from one place to the next. He's telling him, I know the process that you're going to go through. Takes a long time, you know. You can forget the America can forget. I don't know. I've even been able to forget the Williamsburg, you know, because it's not the same Williamsburg anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. Not the same. But a father's house is something, by the way, that you carry with you a whole lifetime. But for Avram, Avram has to leave it behind. I think that this pasuk is so beautifully said. He realizes that she's done the nearly impossible. You know what you did? You left Avich V'imeich. The way I'm trying to interpret it, or the way I want to interpret the pasuk, is that this process is a process that's been going on for a long time. You knew that you'd have to break with your father and mother. I wouldn't be a bit surprised at the beginning of that process, certainly according to a shiur that we said last week or 2 weeks ago, she had already had to break with the house of her father and mother when she became the Ger Toshav that we talked about. She accepted upon herself the 7 Noahide mitzvahs. She's also, you know, while she's still in her birth city and she's still in the land of her people, you know what she's already done there? She has already left the home of her parents. And then, of course, you left Eretz Moladeteich, and you've come all this way to a people that you didn't know. Tmol Shilsham. Would I be wrong? I'm not really asking you to tell me I'm wrong. Would I be wrong in saying, Ashelo Yodato Tmol Shilsham means that you didn't love yesterday or the day before? Didn't we say that the word Yediyah also can mean to love? You've come to a people that you didn't love. This is getting better all the time. Yishalem Hashem po'aleich. Let God pay your wages. Does somebody have an English translation of this pasuk? Michael, could you please read it? Yishalem pasuk 12. Po'aleich. May Hashem reward your actions, and then the next. May Hashem reward your actions, and may your payment be full. May im Hashem from God. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. Asher bot lachasot tachat knafav, that you come to find shelter under his wings. The reason why I wanted you to read it in English is because we have to know what's the difference between Po'aleich and Maskurteich. They both seem like wages or payment. So God should pay you Po'aleich. Excuse me, Utehim. Maskurteich Shleimo Mim Hashem. So of course when you come to words that sound like they're the same, number one, you have to know they're not the same. There are no two words in the Hebrew language in Lashon Kodesh that are precisely the same. That's number one. And then if you don't know the difference between the two, what you have to do is open up the Malbim and hear what the Malbim has to say. And the Malbim says the following. There's a difference between schar and pu'ula. Pu'ula is an action, an act, and schar is wages. And he says there's also a difference between a sachir and a po'el. A sachir is a hired man. A po'el is a worker. Okay? Shah po'el o uman yikabel schar ba'ad hamalocha asher osa. A po'el receives payment for what he did. In other words, I order something by the po'el and he does the job. I pay him for it. The sachir is a person, let's say, who's hired for a year, for 2 years, and it makes a difference. He's going to get the wages regardless of whether at a particular moment he's working or he's not working. There is no specific task that he has to do that he has to finish 10 pairs of shoes. He is hired for all sorts of things. So he says the following. The reward for the fulfillment of a mitzvah is called po'aleich. A po'el does mitzvahs. Did a mitzvah? Get reward. Get payment. The sachir is the one who, for a number of years, or for a lifetime, has signed on with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Or there it's maskur teiches shleima. You get reward, you get payment for each individual mitzvah. And then you also have the schar for having entered and become part of this people. I can't believe that you said that, because those were the 3 words that were going to come out of my mouth. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Take a look behind you on top of the Aron Kodesh. Those are the next 3 words. You see? V'shavu banim l'gvulam. What she said was, when Rachel cries in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Rachel mevaka al boneha. Rachel cries for her children who aren't here. Me'anolihi nachem. She refuses to be consoled until God tells her, Yesh sachor lefu'ula teik. There is reward for what you've done. And then God goes on to say, V'yesh tikva la'acharitech. There is hope for your end. And what is the ultimate end? V'shavu banim legvulam. The children are going to return home. So there too, yesh sachar, there is a reward for each particular mitzvah. But for your crying for your children, the only reward can be yesh tikva la'acharitech. Because of you, there is hope for all of Jewish history. You've saved your children. That's Rachel Imenu. Don't get me onto Rachel Imenu, or we will have left the route behind. Let's go another few psukim. We have to. So she said to him, Emtzachin be'inecho Adoni, I shall find favor in your eyes, my master, kini chamtani, because you have consoled me. V'chidibarta alev shifchatecho, you've spoken to the heart of your maidservant. V'anochi lo eheye, I'm not going to be ka'achat shifchatecha. I'm not going to be like one of your maidservants. Chazal say, she didn't really know what she was saying, but what really was being said here, in other words, Niba, she prophesied, I'm not going to be like the Shvachot, I'm going to be like the Imahot, I'm going to be like the matriarchs. What happens at the end? What's the bracha that she is, given, that she should be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? In the last chapter, Vayomru kol ha'am asher bashar, when Boaz marries her, so it says all of the people who are in the gates and the elders, yitein Hashem et ha'isha ha'boel el beitecho, let this woman who's coming into your house, let her be k'rochel u'choleya asher bonu shteyem et beit Yisrael, the two of whom have built the house of Israel. She says, I'm not going to be like a maidservant. You know what it means? You have to have great she'ifot ambitions. She's an ambitious woman. And, you know, ambitious could also, you know, could have a very negative connotation when you talk about the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation who's a woman and you say about her, she's ambitious, you know. So I wanted to find, you know, that means, you know, she's a cutthroat, she's a killer. She knows who to throw out and she knows how to, She has great longings, great yearnings. She's not simply going to become part of Klal Yisrael. She's going to become Klal Yisrael. What a geyodet. Vayom alo Boaz. Boaz said to her, Le'et ha'ochel, at the time that they were eating, Go she halom, come closer here. V'achalt ben alechem, and you should eat from the bread. V'tovalt piteich b'chometz, and you should dunk your bread into the vinegar. Rashi brings the Gemara that says, Mikan, from here we know, shehachometz yofe l'sharav. Chometz is good for sharav. We all know what sharav is. I'm wondering how I ever knew what it meant, you know, 50 years ago, and I learned it the first time. Vinegar seems to be, I don't just drink bottles of vinegar, do me a favor. That there's something about it that makes taking the heat easier. But Teshe Mitzata Kotzim, as she said, with the gleaners, with the harvesters, Vayitz Batla Koli, and he gave her, Vayitz Batla, very unusual word, he gave her Koli, a roasted ear of grain, Vatochon, she ate, Vatizba, and she was sated, Vatotar, and she left over. There are a lot of things that we'll have to get back, but let's get some more. Vatochon, Lelakate, She got up then after the break. She got up to go gather by Yitzhav Boaz at Narov, and Boaz commanded his boys, saying, "Gam bein ha'amorim talakeit v'lo taklimuha." Let her go even through the bundles of grain, wherever she wants to go. Don't shame her. V'gam shol toshol ulam min hatzvatim. You know what? You can drop one or two sheaves of grain. You can do it intentionally, drop it so that she should have what to pick up. Va'azavtem, leave it there. V'likta, and she shall gather. V'lo tigaruba, and don't be angry with her. V'atalake basoda ad ha'erev, and she gathered in the field until evening. V'atachbota tasheli keita, and she threshed that which she had gathered. She wasn't going to take all of it home. What she really needed were the kernels of grain. V'ayihi, and it came out to be about an ephah, a measure of a bushel of sa'orim of barley. Vatisa, she carried, vatavoha ear, and she came to the city. Vatere chamota atasheli keton, her mother-in-law saw that which she had gathered. Vatotze vatitinla etasher hotira misava. Something that's very moving about this last half of the pasuk. She didn't only bring home grain. She was sitting there and eating together with everybody else. She took a piece of bread and put it in her pocket. That's not a story that could have come straight from the Shoah. Straight from the Shoah. Put away a piece of bread to give to somebody else. Vatomala Chamota, her mother-in-law said to her, "Efoli katet hayom, v'ono asit, where did you gather today? What did you do?" Yehima kireir baruch, whoever it was that recognized you or that gave you this recognition, may he be blessed. Vatageil chamota et asher ostoimo, she told her mother-in-law what she had done with him. Vatome, and it seems, you know, like sort of, to Ruth, the least significant part of the story is who the man was. She doesn't know, of course, that that's going to be the most important part of the whole story. She's most probably telling her about the young girls that she met there, and where they ate, and what they did, and how much she gathered. And then she said, "Vatome, shem ho'ish asher ositi imo hayom, Boaz." There's something beautiful about how the pasuk is set up to leave the name Boaz for the end. Just imagine, you know, I was working with this man, and Naomi is sitting there like, "Oh, who is it? You know, his Tudatze Hood number is, eh? He lives here and here. He has a phone and a fax, and his, and she's plotting, like, she wants to know, who was it? And then finally, she hears the name Boaz. Toma Naomi Lekalata. Watch what's happened over here. Something has already happened. It doesn't say Naomi said to Ruth. All of a sudden, she's called Kalata to her daughter-in-law. There's something about family now that is coming into play. Baruch Hu LaHashem, let he be blessed before God. Ashelo Ozov Chazdo Et HaChayim Vet HaMeitim. Incidentally, she said before, in the pasuk before, let this fellow who gave you recognition, let it be blessed. All of a sudden, she's using the name of God. She's using the name of God. Is it possible because Boaz is the one who said that people should use the name of God? She now uses it to bless Boaz. Baruch Hu LaHashem Ashelo Ozav Chazdo Et HaChayim Vet HaMeitim, that did not forsake his kindness with the living and with the dead. Vatom Lo Naomi. You know what? I think Naomi's giving back to Ruth what she gave to her. She says, let him be blessed to God. And Naomi, Ruth is waiting to hear, what's she getting so excited about? What's she getting so excited about? And only at the end, when it's all over, she says, this man is one of our relatives, and he's migoalenu, from those who have a semi-halachic requirement to redeem our lands and everything that belonged to us. What she hasn't said yet is that there's also a form of yibum, the levirate marriage, for somebody in the family to marry the almana. Ruth Hamoavia said, "Gam ki amar elai He said to me, Im hanorim asher li tidbakin, with the boys who are with me, tidbakin, you shall cling. Didn't we have that word earlier? And I told you not to forget it. I see you didn't, huh? The kotid bakin im na'arotayim pasik 8. Ab im kilu et kol ha-kotzir asher li, he told us, stay with my boys until the entire harvest is finished. Vatoma Naomi el Rut Kalata. Oh no, 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 now it's becoming even more. It's Rut Kalata, it's not simply Kalata. There's the root in her and the Kala in her. We'll see Tov Biti. Wait a minute. Have we gone one giant step forward? It's not Kalata anymore. It's not Moavia anymore. It's Biti. She becomes the scheming mother-in-law. She does not yet want to reveal her plans that, you know, this may be a shidduch made in heaven. She's already, in other words, she's already working on getting her married off. Right? But you can't tell that to Ruth with poo-poo. Get her, come on. Hey. Mother-in-law, come on, give me a break. No. So she says, you know, it's a good idea that you should continue to gather in the field with his girls. Right? Okay? And all she wants is that she should be on the scene. That's all. Boaz will see her again, and Boaz will see her again and again. And then all you have to do is let the Rabbeinu Shalom and nature take their course. And even if it's going to be necessary to become a little bit more forward, we're going to see the unusual next parak. I'm just finishing one more pasuk, and you can all go. So at least we will have finished a chapter, and then we have this word that appears for the third time now. Vatidbak b'narod Boaz, and she cleaved. She remained with the girls of Boaz lake together at klot ktsir hasorim uktsir achitim. Until the harvest of the barley and the wheat was finished, and she lived all that time with her mother-in-law. It was a period of 3 months. All right, we have a lot to say. Very good. Wait a minute. I'll tell you, until this morning, I wouldn't have known how old Ruth was, but I found a Gemara that says she was 40 years old. And the Medrash says, that her biological clock is coming to an end. How old was Boaz? We don't know. He must have been, he was certainly double her age or more. All right, everybody.